Hi everybody, this is Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 33, and today is the 26th of July, 2011, and we have been reading on page 70 and 71 about the particular planets which are active at the various initiations. Vulcan and Pluto at the first initiation, and I explained how they are active at all five. Neptune, Jupiter and Venus at the second initiation, and contending occurring between Venus and Jupiter, and I've tried to explain that. Mars and the Moon, and the Moon is veiling a hidden planet, which I propose to be Vulcan. And this is a higher octave of the drama at the third initiation, compared with the same planets active at the second. We talked about Saturn and Mercury, and what I did not mention is how they are active in what we might call viveka, or viveka, which means discrimination in Sanskrit. And we are discriminating at that point, at the fourth initiation, between the real and the unreal. We are entering the cosmic ethers, and we are using a combination of the triadal lives, the triple flowers ruled by Saturn, and the human creative hierarchy ruled by Mercury. In a way, we could say that at that initiation, ruled by Mercury and Saturn, the human creative hierarchy is coming in touch, close touch, with a higher type of hierarchy, the third, a creative hierarchy of lesser builders, as the solar angels are returning to their proper location within the heart of the sun, or the central spiritual sun. And now, we are moving into the fifth initiation. At the fifth and final initiation, Uranus and Jupiter appear and produce a beneficent organization of the totality of energies found in the initiate's equipment. Well, I think you can see how careful Master DK is with words. Here is second-ray Jupiter with its beneficence, and seventh-ray Uranus with its organization. The two are very active in the chart of Madame Blavatsky, interestingly enough. I think I did mention that. And if I can possibly bring this up, I will do that. No, but it's not quite, hasn't quite appeared. Okay. Yeah, now it is appearing. Okay, now it is appearing. Oh, I see the Moon is in Gemini, and we are in the communicating mode. So what we'll do here is look for something. Here we are. And maybe we can find Blavatsky here. HPB. Not so easily found. I will search in this way. Blavatsky. Maybe that will allow us to find the chart. Yes, we have it. Okay, and take a look at this. Look at this combination of Jupiter and Uranus in just 5 degrees from each other and in the eighth house of occultism. This beneficent organization of energies, I think, was occurring in her case as she was, I do believe, an arhat, a fourth degree initiate. And it has been said that she has since made her way to the central stronghold as a master. So here are very powerful planets demonstrating that possibility of the Beneficent Organization of Energies. When this reorganization is complete, the initiate can then escape from off the wheel and then can truly live. So the wheel of rebirth is no longer active. That happens at the fourth initiation, but perhaps the full escape occurs at the fifth, and at the same time there is the dissolution, complete dissolution of the causal body. It has been destroyed, but it has not been dissipated, and by the fifth initiation, the monadic nature is coming in via Jupiter. So in a way, the highest and the lowest are meeting, because Uranus, veiled by the moon, is ruling the very lowest hierarchy. It's also the hierarchical ruler of the Aries hierarchy, which is the second of the unmanifested hierarchies, the liberated hierarchies, and Jupiter, the monadic plane. All of these are coming together. The man is quite consciously the monad at this point, although he is not yet a completely liberated monad until the sixth initiation. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the planet Saturn at that sixth initiation, because it is the initiation of choice in which Libra is so powerful. The third degree is very powerful. Saturn is the major monadic distributor of the third degree, so I would expect Saturn to be found there. I would also expect for the seventh initiation a very strong representation of the Sun, and maybe Jupiter as well. It's a great second ray initiation, just as the sixth, the third ray initiation. Yes, and as for the eighth and ninth, well, you know, it's anyone's guess. Let's just say that the fifth initiation is powerfully representing by the first ray. It goes like this. First initiation, seventh ray. Second initiation, sixth ray. Third initiation, fifth ray. Fourth initiation, fourth ray. And the fifth initiation, first ray. And then we have the one, the three, and the two. So, fifth initiation, first ray. Sixth initiation, third ray. And the seventh initiation, second ray, where Jupiter and the Sun, I think, would be powerfully represented, is a love, wisdom initiation. Okay, so we have talked then about the planetary powers at the point of mastership, giving, I think, the full unfoldment of the head center under Uranus and the full an ability to enter the monadic vehicle under Jupiter, a great expansion of the heart and the heart and the head, I think, under Jupiter, a tremendous expansion of consciousness, but also an entry into life under Uranus, because it is said that Uranus rules the final burning ground. DK calls this the fifth and final initiation, but we also realize that, you know, it is not final. It is final in the regime of initiations, usually spoken of in relation to man, because man is still man at the fifth initiation, but at the sixth initiation, he is not. It is said, they are no longer men, as are the masters, but having passed beyond that lesser stage, have entered into contact with the Great Council. So Chohans are no longer men specifically, though they can be considered still members of the fourth creative hierarchy. They are not yet members of the fifth or higher creative hierarchies. Not yet. So escape from off the wheel of rebirth, but whenever there's an escape from off a wheel, there's always the mounting of still another wheel. We cannot escape wheels. Even the whole universe, the present universe, is a wheel. Some people I I think there are many universes. I do agree there are many parallel dimensions, if that's what they mean by universe. But it is always possible to combine all possibilities into one, and that one is the universe. Though the universe does not contain, because it is finite, I believe, finite, it does not contain every possibility within the absolute. Far from it. There are infinitely more possibilities in relation to the absolute than can possibly be contained in any one universe. Right, we're on page 71. And let's see here. Just get that little bracket going in case we need it. And at this time, the energy of the sun, veiling a sacred planet hitherto unknown, is steadily and persistently reaching the man via the solar angel. Well, okay, this is mysterious. All this time, the energy of the sun in these initiation processes, veiling a sacred planet hitherto unknown. Well, Vulcan is a sacred planet, and in a way it is hitherto unknown, and it increases its grip upon the personality, and we could say that the solar angel expresses it. But we may be dealing with another sacred planet altogether. The list of seven sacred planets has been given and seems complete, but who is to say that there are not more sacred planets in our solar system than that? And one might wonder, you know, I'm still wondering about the planet Isis, which is a name associated with Sirius, and which may well be a receptor of Sirian energies therefrom, transmitting those energies to our three synthesizing planets, which are Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn. So there may, you know, in a lodge, there are always present past masters to supervise the activity of the present master and to advise. So a solar system is like a lodge, and one might wonder whether there are not present past master planets, definitely sacred planets, who are no longer so active in the actual functions, the major functions of the solar system, but are there for other purposes, having already passed through that which the present planets are passing through. Anyway, Isis, I think, speculatively, according to Charles Jane and others, is definitely a planet. It has a approximately 360-year period around the sun, which correlates it quite well with the 360 days, archetypally 360 days of the Earth around the sun. And it could well be the planet of which we are speaking here. But again, we cannot eliminate Vulcan, hitherto unknown. Okay. That is a hint. The energy of the sun veiling a sacred planet, hitherto unknown. It could be Vulcan. Of course, DK has introduced us to the idea that Vulcan is a planet, and in a sense, we are thereby knowing about it. And all through mythology, Vulcan has been a constant presence as a god, though not assumed to be a planet, except perhaps within the halls of the initiates where these things are known. So I think this is a very interesting hint. I don't think it can be immediately resolved, at least I cannot resolve it. We're not speaking about Venus, although Venus is a major planet connected with the solar angel, because Venus is certainly hitherto known. Nor are we speaking of Uranus or Neptune or the standard planets veiled by the sun. So only Vulcan is a possibility of the planets we know about, or one of the undiscovered and even unsuspected planets. See, Vulcan is a suspected planet, but it's undiscovered. Some of these others are not only undiscovered, but by most they are unsuspected. All right, we have made our way to page 71, and I wonder if we've made our way further than that. I'm going to have to take a look because we seem to be skipping some pages here. Esoteric astrology, and we will go to page 71. Okay. Right. Now there is, well, I don't know why we seem to have jumped a number of pages, because here we're still on page 71, and now perhaps it's the way the book is laid out. It says from page 71 to 404, the nature of esoteric astrology, but we do seem to be beginning on page 75, and I don't have the book with me right now. I've been working mostly from electronic books. It's been a big transition, but one day I'll find my astrology book with all of its notes. All right. So we're on page 75, and we're dealing with the nature of esoteric astrology, and it seems like some of our introduction is concluded, although this is still of an introductory nature, introductory remarks. It will be apparent to you, after studying the foregoing, that one of the results which should emerge under the impression of this new approach to astrological diagnosis, what a fifth-ray way of dealing with it, as far as the individual is concerned, DK talks about astrological diagnosis, and he talks about the rays being subject to expert diagnosis. So he wants to discern exactly which factors are there, what they are doing, which rays are there, what they are doing, etc., will be the more correct casting of the horoscope of advanced human beings, disciples and initiates, because up till this time, although their horoscope is cast, it is not well known how to interpret these horoscopes in a more spiritual way with additional rulers and other indications of esoteric astrology which are not used. This has not hitherto been accurately possible. Well, I guess there has been the casting of the horoscope of advanced human beings, but not, in DK's view, accurately so. It will only come about, however, if there is wise and right experiment and investigation. So DK certainly is endorsing the use of the fifth ray methods, and the statistical approach, and the experimental approach. And this obviously does not happen overnight. We have a scientific age into which we are entering, which is emitting or transmitting the fifth ray, that is that Aquarius as a constellation is doing that. And so there will have to be many experiments undertaken. Uranus is a planet of experimentation. It is the ruler of Aquarius, strongly associated with Aquarius, and also one of the veiled rulers hierarchically. We will enter our experiments. Okay, I have posited two sets of rulers for two types of people, he says. excuse me. The orthodox and generally accepted series of planetary rulers for the undeveloped and average man. Okay, for both. And the average man is defined by as the man who is not aspiring to spiritual things, but whose desire nature is focused within the three worlds and serves the personality. He is bound upon the wheel of form, and he is not moving in a counterclockwise direction upon the wheel of consciousness. And he has also proposed two types of people, a new combination of rulers and constellations for those upon the path. D.K. is using the term signs and constellations rather interchangeably. I don't know that we can pounce upon every use and say, ah, here, he really means constellations. Here, he really means rulers. I think he's keeping this fluid. As we understand that the signs are areas of concentration for the energies of the galaxies of stars, which he calls constellations. He doesn't mean so much galaxies as he means asterisms. The term galaxy is used somewhat loosely. Anyway, there are a new combination of rulers for constellations for those upon the path. And of course, we are receiving the energy from the constellations, no question about that. And it passes through the signs, which are aggregations of Devic energy, energies which are attuned to specific constellations. What those Devic energies may be, we do not know. It's just that we know that every planet has its associated devas, and I'm sure that's true of the signs of the zodiac. They are attuned to the energies reaching us from the zodiacal constellations. At least that's my present theory. It will be necessary to remember, nevertheless, that there are an infinite number of permutations possible. Okay, term infinite number, I've often used it incorrectly. There can be no specifiable infinite number, otherwise it wouldn't be infinite, obviously, but he means countless numbers of permutations possible. I suspect that's what he means. Of complexities and relationships due to the vast number of possible combinations existing in the path of life of the individual and depend upon his stage of evolutionary development. There are so many combinations that the intellect, even the advanced intellect, cannot keep track of them, and that's why the intuition, which locates and defines the salient point, goes there directly. Sometimes it's called direct knowledge or straight knowledge. That's why the intuition is so necessary amidst all this complexity. What is it, after all, that is truly relevant? That we must find. Okay, so all these combinations, possibilities, it says, these might be divided into three groups, though a broad, through a broad, but necessarily inadequate generalization. So now we have the three groups who are subject to these various, various combinations. Okay. The individual and the stages of evolutionary unfoldment, that's what we're talking about right now, and people upon those or living within those various stages. One, average and undeveloped man living below the diaphragm and with the emphasis of the incoming energies and forces focused either in the solar plexus or the sacral center. Obviously, it's more advanced to be fuller, focused in the solar plexus than in the sacral center. And notice the base of the spine is excluded. The base of the spine is functioning at a maintenance level and is involved with the will to live. There's a great center of will. But it is not a center receiving a special cultivation until the third initiation and beyond. So there is a certain reservoir of energy there, and it functions in the survival mode, and it keeps the vitality going as it is related to the etheric body, according to D.K. and Cosmic Fire. But it is not receiving the energies per se and being cultivated during the normal stages of the evolutionary path. Okay, so the solar plexus and sacral centers are receiving the incoming energies, and that is where those are the types of energies which are emphasized. Either a sexuality and accumulation of that which is desired, or desire and idealism as focused through the solar plexus. Now we also have, he says, a large number of people who are in an interim stage with the energies and forces focused mainly in the lower center or centers, but at the same time playing quite frequently through the throat center and evoking a faint response from the heart and ajna center. So what we learn is that when considering the three major rays, the third ray is always the first to show itself, the first to manifest, followed by the second, followed by the first ray. So the throat center, although positionally higher in the body than the heart center, manifests before the heart center does, at least the heart center in its higher aspects, and before the ajna center does. And perhaps in some ways the ajna center manifests its energies before the heart center does, the higher aspects of the heart center. Because the ajna center and the throat center are related to the personality. The ajna center is related to the integrating of the personality, and the throat center is, to a certain extent as well, is definitely correlated with the personality, which expresses itself along the third aspect of divinity. So people in the interim stage, yes, living below the diaphragm, concentrating on the sacral center and on the solar plexus center, but becoming intelligent through the throat center and with the impulses of love and purposeful direction awakening in them faintly. Then we have the third group of those who are evolving, people upon one or other of the final stages of the path. The final stages of the path are occurring from the time, really, we enter the path of aspiration, of probation, and of discipleship. We make many distinctions in those phases of the path, and there are many gradations, but really, if you look at when it occurs compared to the huge span of human evolution, the stage in which a man consciously and deliberately reorients himself towards higher energies and values is a very small period compared with the vast millions of years span of human evolution. So there are people upon one or other of the final stages of the path, with the emphasis rapidly passing away from the lower centers. That doesn't mean they are not necessarily used, but the emphasis is not there. Into the higher triad. That doesn't mean the spiritual triad in this case. It means the higher triad of centers. Usually that is considered to be head, heart, and throat. And with the highest head center, not necessarily one of the lower seven, but the highest head center in process of awakening. And disciples certainly have the highest head center in process of awakening, and with every one of the 10 areas of seed group service, the head center, the highest head center, is considered a constant, a major center which cannot be dispensed with. So these people, on the final stages of the path, are also falling into two groups. Those who are using the solar plexus center as a vast clearing house for incoming energies, and who are beginning to work through the throat and heart centers, meaning they are intelligent and somewhat loving and to a degree unselfish, with the goal of completely awakening the ajna center so as to have a sense of directed spiritual purpose at the ajna center. Ajna center stands for many things, all the way from the integrating personality up to the spiritual triad. It is by various turns a center which is associated with the first ray of the integrated personality, with the third ray when compared with the two highest head centers. It has something to do with the personality as a whole, and the third personality is a third ray instrument, and with the second ray when comparing the three centers of highest head center, Ajna, and Alta major center. So a number of rays, and really all the seven actually, operate through the Ajna center. One can go on collecting rays associated with the center, even the seventh, even the sixth for visioning. So not just the fifth and the fourth. Yes, all the rays are associated with the Ajna center. So, of the people in the final stages of the path, the solar plexus, all the energies are going through the solar plexus on their way to the heart center. There's an elevation of desire, a focusing of idealism towards the higher life, an aspirational life, as all the energies come through the solar plexus center, making of it a vast clearinghouse for incoming energies. The throat center, too, can be considered a vast clearinghouse for incoming energies. So the complete awakening of the Ajna center will make of the man the true higher psychic. He will be the initiate of the third degree. He will be able to function in response to the spiritual triad, if not absolutely polarized upon those levels, as the fourth and fifth degree initiates are. Okay, so that's one type, one major group, and the next major group, those who are using all these centers, all of them, but in whom the heart center is fully awakened. Remember that the heart center has a Buddhic connotation, and it is the center which is the subject of attention at the fourth initiation or crucifixion, when the fourth ray is prominent. Fourth ray at the fourth initiation. And the heart center, actually, interestingly, the fourth center. One, two, three, four. So they're using all the centers, but the heart center is fully awakened, and we can hardly say that of ourselves yet. We have the awakening heart center. If the Christ consciousness were pouring through us completely, and if we were experts in expressing it, then we could say that our heart center was fully awakened. And the triangle of force in the head, from the Ajna center to the head center, and from the head center to the center found in the medulla oblongata, which can be called some ways of looking at the carotid gland, but let's just call it the Alta Major Center and stay on the etheric level. From the Ajna to the head to the Alta Major Center is beginning to function. Heart open fully, Alta Major Center, head center, Ajna Center circulating, creating the Eye of Shiva in the center of the head, in the ethers around the pineal gland, unitive vision achieved, oneness known, heart and the third eye operating to give a perception of the world which transcends duality. And this will be achieved initially at the third initiation and will grow from that point on. We cannot say, of course, that full realization is achieved at the third initiation, though it is sometimes called the illumination, the initiation of illumination. It's sometimes called the enlightenment. It's sometimes called Satori in the Japanese terms. There are other terms, I'm sure, transfiguration and so forth. We move beyond a slavery to the duality of form and realize the unity of all forms, even though they appear to have their parts and pieces, they are all part of the unity. We transcend separateness at that point, and St. Paul certainly did that. He began to realize moving from becoming a very, I think, aggressive and persecutory idealist and almost a fanatic, in which the sense of duality was extremely strong. He became one who realized the unity, realized the value of love, the supreme value of love. His perception was entirely changed through, we have to presume, an open heart center. When these centers are all awakening, their simplest combinations, obviously there are more than these, are the following triangles. And this is probably taken from Cosmic Fire. The science of triangles underlies all astrological deduction. We always have to have the Trinity in mind. We always have to have the three aspects of divinity in mind. We have to look toward their balance. The science of triangles underlies all astrological deduction, as well as the centers in the human body. The triangular relationships of centers within the human body all have their specific quality and purpose. And we have to understand these triangles just as we have to understand the planetary triangles. I once, over the period of a week or more, dictated to my tape recorder the meaning of every triangle that I could imagine. Planetary triangle. I didn't do that with the centers. And I revolved those triangles and so forth, but I never really edited that dictation. Somewhere I have that, and we'll have to get it out so that at least it can serve as a basis for encouraging thought along those lines. Okay, he says, the science of triangle underlies all. Astrological deduction, as well as underlies the centers in the human body. This you know. But the four triplicities of Orthodox astrology are only the rudiments of the true science, which lies behind the Orthodox interpretation. For instance, you know, three fire signs, Aries, Leo, Sagittarius. Three earth signs, Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn. These are triangles. Three air signs, Gemini, Libra, Aquarius. Three water signs, Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces. And when you are considering them together, one will represent the first aspect of divinity, one the second, and one the third. Always with triangles, there are the one, two, three, the three aspects of divinity represented. This is very dramatically the case in the fire triangles, where Aries represents the first or father aspect, Leo the sun or second ray aspect, and Sagittarius the body, the third ray, the activity aspect. And probably those three aspects of divinity could be found in relation to all of the triplicities. I'm thinking about I'm thinking about the water triangle, and in this case I would put Scorpio as representing the first aspect because it is Hercules' sign, and Hercules is the great first ray disciple. Pisces is a cosmic decanate connected with the second ray, so obviously the Christ force of the second ray is moving through that. And Cancer, which also does distribute the third ray, has to do with the personality nature under the third aspect and the elemental lives under the third aspect. Probably we could do that with all of them, couldn't we? Although there could be differences of interpretation. Aquarius, the Great Bear, would be the first aspect of synthesis. Gemini and Libra switch back and forth. It's difficult to say. Libra is a third-ray constellation, but in a way it brings through the second ray very powerfully, and divine love and understanding are achieved when Libra is consummated. So there's a very powerful love-wisdom second-ray aspect, and Gemini has all that mobility of the third ray, and it is the third sign, but we could switch them around as well, putting Gemini in the second place and Libra in the third place, according to the rays which transit through them. But it is somewhat ambiguous. Now that would leave the Earth. Okay. Well, there's just different ways of doing that. Capricorn could be considered the father aspect, the first ray aspect, the pinnacle, the approach to the highest lawful authority. Taurus and Virgo could switch around, but Taurus relates to the great light of the second ray. I see the greatest light. It relates to the wisdom aspect of the second ray, and Virgo perhaps to the activity aspect, although Virgo being a second ray, being a second ray sign at this time, and one in which the Christ consciousness is brought forward, could take the second ray place. You see, I'm not preserving the exact order of a cardinal fixed mutable the way it is done in fire. In the fire signs. I'm looking at the qualities of these signs and how they correlate with either the first, second, or third aspect. Yeah, I think, well, you know, there's third aspect in Capricorn as well. But I think that Taurus fits well in the middle. It's certainly not connected with the activity aspect per se, and there's not a lot of third ray associated with Taurus. I think it's good in the second position, Capricorn being a lawful. Although, you know, the Taurus has that tamasic quality connected with it, which we might connect with the outer or third ray manifestation. It's a little more difficult to do with the Earth signs, but I like to look at it's cardinal fixed mutable in this case. I'd like to look at Capricorn 1, Taurus 2, Virgo 3. Anyway, we're understanding, and we will understand more later when he talks about the science of triangles, that there is a tremendous science unfolding here of which the triplicities of Orthodox astrology are simply the rudiments, although we can go much deeper into those triplicities than Orthodox astrology goes, as we see in the case of the fire signs, where spirit, soul, and body are represented by the three fire signs in order. All right, so here are some triangles. The base of the spine, the sacral center, and the solar plexus center. This is the very lowest triplicity of the major centers, and it's certainly man who is indeed focused below the diaphragm, elemental man living the strictly personal life, though not necessarily at all an integrated personality. He is subject to elemental forces. Then we have another triangle here, throat center, heart center, ajna center. This is modern, intelligent man. He is socially responsive. There is some love expressing. There is a sense of direction through the ajna center. His intelligence is there through the throat center. You know, in a treatise on cosmic fire, I'll just show you where this is. You probably know in a way here. This is right around page 170 of a treatise on cosmic fire. All these triangles are given in a very detailed manner. How they work through man, all the way from the pranic triangle here, involving centers which are not considered major centers, to man controlled from the astral plane. The heart is always involved, interestingly enough, but the solar plexus is the highest of the low centers there. Man controlled from the mental plane, heart involved again, base of spine involved again, interestingly, as the center of will. But the throat is now coming in for intelligence. Man, partially controlled by the ego, advanced man, up to, I would say, the first initiation. Heart is there again, base of the spine leaves off. Throat is there for intelligence. But the alta center synthesizes four lesser head centers. This is not the major head center at all, but four lesser ones. Still, they're important, and they are, I think, in general, ruled by Vulcan. Then we have the spiritual man, presumably from the first to the third initiation. Heart and throat are there again. And the seven head centers are now fully unfolded, but still not the highest. We have the sixth phase, spiritual man to the... Whoop, connection lost. Okay. Okay. This is, I don't know why that is happening. I think we have to be very careful now. It looks as if, I don't know whether you're hearing me at this point. Perhaps you are. Yes, it looks like there was a connection lost there for a minute. And I hope that we didn't lose too much in the process. I have to remain aware of that. Anyway, what I was talking about was a spiritual man from the first to the third initiation. All seven head centers are then awakened, but they are not yet the highest head centers. And spiritual man, I would say, from the third to the fifth initiation, the heart is there, the seven head centers and the two many petaled lotuses, presumably in the head, presumably the 96 petaled Ajna center and the 960 petaled highest head center plus 12 in the major center of that head center, making 972. So this is the place where we see the full representation of the triangles which are involved. Let's see, I think in the astrology book, he doesn't give us such great detail, nor does he necessarily reproduce the centers as they are found on page 169 and 170 of A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, which I just showed you. Okay, so now we have, we can tell from the centers, we have the advanced man operating here, and let's go on and see if there's more. Yes, there is another one. DK is reducing here the amount of detail, but the Ajna center, the head center, and the center in the medulla oblongata, this is the initiate. When there is a full triangular relationship rotating between these three centers, as I say, the eye of Shiva, the blue eye, the eye of unity is evoked. And the unification of subject and object is appreciated, and man is transcending duality, and he realizes himself to be in the unity. He says the center in the medulla oblongata, he seems to be suggesting a physical center, but we do call that the alta major center when we are considering it from the etheric point of view. All right, so DK has just given us three centers, and he said... he's started to talk about the science of triangles, and now he's talking about triangular relationships between the various chakras of man. Okay, now let's just see where we are. And we're hoping, of course, that you are hearing what I'm saying. It's very difficult with these webinars to stop in the middle when you've apparently lost the audio. You have to kind of rely upon the program to bring it back, because there's nothing that we can do to bring it back particularly. And then if I stop and end the webinar, I cannot restart it, and a different tape or a different program will be needed. Well, anyway, DK goes on to say, unfortunately, the organizing principle is not as simple as the above tabulation would make it appear, for the emphasis, the focus, and the mode of arranging and of vitalization and the appearance of esoteric triangles varies with the ray type. Well, in my commentaries on the Treatise on Cosmic Fire, I have dealt with this. Triangles activated according largely to the monadic ray. So there's the tendency always to proceed from the activity aspect to the love aspect to the will aspect. That is, we have a problem here. Hello, hello. Test 1, 2. Test 1, 2. Okay. I think I'm continuing to record here, and we'll see whether I can record audio link, not connecting to audio. Okay, I may have been pulled out here for some reason, and I'm not sure what I can do. I think I will, 50 minutes have elapsed here, so we'll have a little bit more on the audio recording than we have on the other recording. We are, the program has stopped. So I will end this program and I will just say, Om, and make an attempt to find out what has happened. I cannot quite... need audio help. I do need audio help. I do need audio help. And the microphone is working, and that is working. Now my microphone is working again. Yes, it's definitely working, but I cannot start my tape recording again. So I'm going to end this. This will be an abbreviated ending to Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 33, and we will continue again, hopefully under better circumstances.